Well, here's second down and three. Here's a handoff. Keith Payne right up the gut, rumbles to the end zone. Touchdown, Virginia. Keith Payne, for the eighth time this season, finds Pater, and Virginia gets its first touchdown of the ball game. And signs of life from this Wahoo team that looked to be dead in the water just moments ago.
All right, that was the audio clip from Saturday's UVA-UNC game, and that was Keith Payne blasting off right guard, right behind B.J. Cabell.
A little Dave Kane discussing Keith Payne.
That's interesting, and that brings a point that for 2 weeks I've wondered this. Why isn't Keith Payne starting? Nothing against Perry Jones. He's a fine, small athlete. But I got to tell you, a fifth-year senior sporting about 240 pounds, 6'3", he's a beast. He's got 8 touchdowns this year. Seems to me that you would be using him on first and second down exclusively and maybe rotating in Perry Jones on third down and long if you need a little back coming out of the backfield. But call me crazy.
Well, most people have.
Well, that's okay.
You know.
Cheap shot there, how about just like, how about the practice
Well,
player?
You know, the coaches always say it's not who starts the game, it's who finishes the game. Keith Payne, he's got 8 touchdowns and he had 107 yards last week.
That was his second 100-yard game of the season. And
he's certainly getting in the game enough, but he's just not starting.
But he's, to me, why not start him and let's see what happens?
Well, I do agree with you. I mean, he's a power runner, and if they really want to establish the run, as we discussed last week, you know, a successful first down play is, you know, maybe 4 or 5 yards where you give yourself, well, 3 is better than nothing. But 4, I think, you know, you're in a good position if you have 2nd and 6 or fewer yards than 6. It gives you a lot more options on offense. And maybe, as you say, bring Jones in a situation where you might want to get somebody who's got some quickness, get him the ball out in the flat on a pass or whatever, where he can make some moves and maybe get 8, 9, 10 yards where you need that for a first down. But nevertheless, interesting, and I think you had a comment about Mark Verica as quarterback.
Oh, yeah. This week I've put up a polling question concerning who should get the majority of the snaps at quarterback this week, really with an eye towards the rest of the season. We're halfway through the season. Virginia is sitting at 2-4. What the heck? Let's start molding the team for next season, and let's see if we can't get some experience and get some reps in for these guys, because clearly, in my opinion, Verica should start the games. He's a fifth-year senior. He's been consistent. He lends some leadership as one of the team captains and so forth, but clearly I'd like to see more of Rocco. I think Michael Rocco should be getting in some more snaps, and Let's see what he's got. I'm not sure Matheny is the answer, but he should be playing too. I think both these guys should be brought in and getting some reps. What are your thoughts?
Well, certainly at some point in time, you got to start prepping for next year. Because this year, I mean, for Virginia, I think, am I correct, they have to win 7 games to go to a bowl game this year?
That is correct.
So that means they'd have to win.
Well, the Eastern Michigan game counts.
It counts.
So this is a must-win
so
game.
So that's 3, but they're after that, there's only 5 games left, so they'd have to win 4 out of the last 5 games. Is that correct?
Well, looking at the schedule, you know that Miami comes to Charlottesville on the 30th. That's a tough game no matter how you slice it. It's a good team, although the Miami team has been prone to errors. And their quarterback has been known to throw some interceptions, Ja'Cory Harris. Then Virginia travels down to Duke. That's a winnable game down there. Duke is 0-3 in the conference. Maryland at home on the 13th. That's clearly a winnable game. This probably is Friedgen's last year. They're way past the boo birds up there. People aren't buying tickets. And then Virginia travels to Boston College. BC has struggled mightily this year.
Although they were in the game against Florida State last week. I can't remember the score, but, I mean, it was within a touchdown, and that game was in Tallahassee. So
Boston College is 0-3, and they've been outscored 87-36 in the conference. Let's see here. Overall, 2-4. So that's a team that's trying to find its identity as well. That's a game that Virginia will be in. Last year, Virginia could very easily have won that game in Charlottesville. There were some plays that some penalties and some things that took some long plays back and so forth. And I thought Virginia even stopped them down at the goal line on that goal line stand, those 4 plays where Shinsky was taking those quarterback keepers. And, you know, I'm not sure how the referee ruled that he got across, because I looked at that thing every way but Sunday, and his helmet never got across, much less the ball.
Well, suffice it to say that if you see 7 wins on the schedule at this stage, you are an optimist of the highest sort, because order to get to 7, you'd have to beat Miami at home. Because I think, you know, Virginia Tech and Blacksburg.
But six is attainable.
Six is attainable. That doesn't get you to a bowl game this year, but no. It would be a very, you know, certainly at this stage, 2-4, if you go 4-2 in the last 6 games.
He's done a great job of coaching.
Yeah, great job of coaching, and you've started to lay a foundation for the future. And I think if you win that many games and Mark Varick is your starting quarterback, you probably stick with him. But, I mean, another loss or two in a situation then, I think maybe you do start looking to the future, thinking, hey, I got to start thinking about next year and maybe getting a guy in there and give him some real game experience prepping for 2011.
Well, I think, you know, looking at the schedule again, Eastern Michigan, Virginia should be able to overpower them and win that game somehow, some way. The Miami game is a big test for Mark Verica and the offensive line and the skill players.
Well, the Miami game, just to add something, you know, I think that's a really important game following the Florida State and North Carolina home games, where Virginia, quite frankly, got blown out at home.
Yes.
I think it's really important for them to be competitive against Miami, and hopefully they'll get a little momentum this week against Eastern Michigan, the Mighty Eagles, who are coming in with a win after having an 18-game losing streak. So, Lord knows, this is a game the Cavs have to get, and hopefully it won't be a game that comes down to the last quarter.
You know, look at it at this situation with the quarterback predicament that Virginia's in. You'd almost have to think that coming back from the Duke game, at that point, I believe Bill Lazor and Mike London will make a decision one way or the other in terms of how much more Verica plays, meaning he may be starting, mind you, but I think you will see the other players filtering into the lineup maybe as early as late second quarter so that they get some reps before halftime.
Yeah, I would think, I mean, if let's say hypothetically Virginia is 3-6 after mm-hmm. the Duke game,
yeah,
then I think you might start thinking about 2011.
You're going to get people some reps. And I'm leaning more towards Rocco. I just feel like Rocco is a
coach's kid.
Is a coach's kid. He's been groomed his whole life as a quarterback.
You just don't like left-handed guys. That's
no,
all.
I just Matheny's mechanics bother me. He holds the ball too low in his left hand when he's dropping back into the pocket, and unfortunately, he was 1-for-1 last week. And
now is Rocco a true freshman?
He is a true freshman.
Okay.
And obviously, the coaches have seen more from him than they have from Strauss. Gooch, it's obvious that they're going to redshirt Miles Gooch, who's running the scout team this year. So, you know, let's see some more of Rocco. If they burn the redshirt, let's see more of him.
Do you know what Rocco's size is? How big is he?
He's got good build. He's not
6'2", maybe?
He's not a beast or anything. I think Gooch is the biggest athlete we have at quarterback.
And neither Rocco or Matheny, it's not a mobility thing. Probably neither one of them are that mobile.
They're not the fastest guys, but they both have respectable arm strength and good field vision so far. They need to make better decisions on where they're throwing the ball. But, you know, I'd like to see more of Rocco. I like Verica. I think Verica's shown a lot of class during his career. He's battled adversity really for 2.5 years, basically. And
well, he's a terrific kid, but ultimately in athletics, you have to perform, be you a player or a coach. It's all about winning games,
and,
like it or not.
He needs to step up right now. Virginia needs to beat Eastern Michigan. They need to come out and play strong from the get-go. We need a good first quarter. Virginia has not played a good first quarter in weeks.
Well, you've got a stretch here. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is that Florida State, Georgia Tech, and North Carolina
tough teams.
Were thought to be among the better teams in the ACC at the beginning of the year, and they probably are.
And proving it.
So Virginia now with Eastern Michigan. Now Miami was thought to be one of the better teams in the league, but they've stumbled a little bit. They look at least potentially beatable, particularly at home. And then you got Duke and Maryland after that. So you got a stretch on the schedule here where Virginia might have an opportunity to
get well a little bit,
win a couple of games, and there's nothing like winning to make you better.
Well, certainly the Miami game would be a very interesting contest for the Cavaliers. Lord knows Virginia owes them big time. few years ago, Miami had a couple of incredible punt returns that turned a very nip-and-tuck game all the way around. And could be that the type of night where maybe or the type of game where
– Type of afternoon.
Type of afternoon. I mean, that Virginia's players could maybe rally and really stick it to Miami and maybe power the football between the tackles and keep the ball away from Ja'Cory Harris a little bit.
Well, what do you – you know, Chris Wright – I got a sense he was a little down on Verica, you know, and also a little down on the tackling ability of the Virginia defense. What's your opinion about that?
Well, you know, they talked about the tackling, particularly against Florida State. It was self-evident that players got in position to make plays. However, they just didn't get the job done. And you've got to get the man down on the ground. Virginia, particularly in that 70-yard run early in the game, there was no excuse for that. That was a bad play.
And that first play the other night, the sad thing about it, you know, when I first got in the stadium the other night, I was thinking, wow, the crowd's not that good. But it really – what was the announced crowd?
They went over 50,000.
Yeah, the game got going, it really was a good crowd. I thought the team was excited. I wasn't real crazy about the total orange uniforms, but that's another issue. But it seemed like everybody was fired up, ready to go, and then North Carolina goes out and runs that first play for about,
it was actually 81 yards.
81 yard for a touchdown.
Yeah, they threw the ball to Jones, and number 83 for
– Yeah, that was – I was thinking 83 yards, but it wasn't 83 yards. It was number 83 of Carolina.
Right. You know, the sad thing is that was actually a blown assignment. And I would say
– Hopefully, because he was barely touched.
More often than not, though, against Carolina, particularly on play action, Virginia had blown assignments. And it was more of that than it was the missed tackles. I think the missed tackles, it's easy to say – so-and-so missed his man, but I can tell you a player diving towards the sideline that can barely get the player's shoelace, that's not a missed tackle. That's a man that's too far out of position to get into the play to make a nice tackle. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think we have a caller. We got Bill on line one. Bill, are you there? Go ahead.
Yes. I was in the car and heard you guys talking about personnel, and I have a comment on that.
Go ahead.
And I'm a fan, and I think we all have to realize when we see these guys 2 hours a week, the coaches see them 5 days a week plus that 2 hours, we have to hope they are putting correct people on the field.
Yeah, that's correct.
And, I mean, I agree with you in a degree, but we do have to remember those guys see them all week. And as far as a quarterback, I'm not sure anybody in the program is a guy that's going to take you to the promised land.
Well, you might be right. One thing's for certain, we don't know what Michael Strauss can do. He hasn't played so far this year in a game. Secondly, Miles Gooch, it appears they've redshirted him, the nice young man from Georgia. And David Watford is a verbal commitment that everyone has high hopes for. So you might be right, Billy. It could very well be that Virginia's next quarterback is still playing high school football.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, what's the kid from Hampton's name?
David Watford.
Well, yeah, you know, he's a three-star, and, they, you know, they do turn out to be okay sometime, but you better not hang your hat on those guys.
Well, you know, one thing's for certain, and Mike London has already addressed this in two press conferences, alluding to the fact that Virginia, or any coach, is not really going to be all that fired about putting a true first-year quarterback on the field to start right out of the gate. That's most teams will want to redshirt a young man and then give him a year in the program to learn the offensive schemes, understand the formations that the offensive coordinator likes, understand the packages of personnel that the team has got, and then might a redshirt quarterback get on the field. But Virginia might be forced in the inevitable situation of having to play David Watford because these other quarterbacks are not distinguishing themselves.
Yeah, I think that is a stretch. But if the quarterback of the future is still in high school, it's definitely going to be a 3 or 4 year building process.
Well, you never know. Go ahead.
My other comment, you guys were looking at the schedule. I don't see another loss on it, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, Billy never sees a loss. He probably doesn't see a loss on that basketball schedule either. Maybe he hasn't focused on that one yet.
Good show, guys.
All right, thanks, Billy. Appreciate your call.
You know, to sort of touch on some of the thoughts he made, you know, Virginia is in a tough situation, and Coach London is doing the right thing by redshirting these players. He's got to first build up some depth. He's got to teach these players how to play better football. He's got to recruit well for a couple of years and then sort of reload the program. And Jim Dombrowski talked about that right away once he was on air tonight, you know, depth. It's not just the starters, but Virginia is lacking in the starting category, but also the depth.
Well, it's going to be a process, and people need to be patient. We got the right leadership in place. We just all need to be patient, and that's hard to do sometimes because you want to win right away. But anyway, we're going to go to our final break. We'll be back with our last segment of tonight's show, talk about next week's remote. We'll have Michael Tusky on the Olympic sports and some final thoughts. Stay with us.
This is Who's Talking, Jim Hobgood to my right, and Michael Tusky, our trusty research analyst.
To your immediate right.
Yes. Fire away, Michael.
Well, upcoming this weekend, the men's tennis team will host the 2010 ITA Atlantic Regional Tournament this week at the Snyder Tennis Center. Teams from the states of Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Virginia will compete to earn a trip to the 2010 ITA National Indoor Championships next month. You'll remember we've won that the last few years running. The action begins each day at 9 a.m. and continues until Sunday in Charlottesville.
Very good, Michael. Next week, we have former Wahoo and Arizona Cardinal offensive guard Big E, Elton Brown, all 335 pounds of this fine young graduate of the university.
Yeah, I always like people that call me skinny.
Yeah, you... When was
there
that?
Aren't many, but
that was a long time ago.
I'll have to make sure Elton does that.
We also have former UVA punter Noah Greenbaum joining us. At Richmond BMW on Wednesday night. Former UVA linebacker John Copper will be joining us by phone. Chris Horn of the Sabre will give us a recruiting update. And we have West End Orthopedics Dr. Gordy Rawls joining us to talk about the injury report next Wednesday, live remote at Richmond BMW. Everybody come out. We've got food, drinks, excellent door prizes, even a longer prize list than last time. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun last time when we were out there. I think that white BMW convertible is still on the showroom floor, so come on out, make them an offer. They're probably in a mood to trade.
They're probably ready to do a deal.
Yeah, we thank our guests tonight. Obviously,
head coach George Gelnavach.
Right, and Jim Dombrowski was on earlier, as well as Dr. David Nediff and Chris Wright of the Sabre all joined us. Good show tonight. Mr. Co-host Frank Maloney, thank you for all your support and help. And go Hoos, Eastern Michigan,
win
this weekend.
Let's crush them.
Absolutely.
Go Hoos.
Thanks for joining us. See you next week at BMW on West Broad Street.